You know, I've been accused of robbing the cradle. She just holds her age real well. She's actually 4 years older than I am. Lord, forgive me. I know it. Suddenly. If you see a shoe fly up this way, suddenly. It's been a joy being here with you guys. Hallelujah. You know, I know there's been years and years of word come into this place by some of the best. And those words have probably kept us, you as a people, through years, the ups and downs, the ins and outs. And God always probably did send the appropriate one at the appropriate time. But today we want to minister concerning something that was said when Jim and Brother Oscar and I was up in North Carolina here a few weeks ago. And during that time, we were gathered together, and one of the themes that floated through the 3 or 4 days we were there was what's going to happen next. And God has brought a people such as yourselves into a place where you're going to become quickly that which happens next. And we want to minister in that particular area today. The lady, Brother Oscar's wife, asked me to put a title on my message. So we're going to title this, let me see, what are we going to title? Divine Order is Established by God. And where are we at in this process of divine order? You know, God just didn't throw all this stuff out here without having a purpose. And that purpose is wrapped around the divine order of God. And if you and I, regardless of how much we've heard or seen, do not allow ourselves to be drawn into the divine order of God, then that which God has purposed for this particular moment, time, and day in God will pass us by. Because He's moving in that order. And those that are caught up in the order of God, they begin to flow with God. And they begin to get swallowed up by God. Can I read that dream you had? I don't know if you read it here to the people or not, but Jim gave me a dream he had a few weeks ago. Pardon?
Just a poem.
A poem. Oh, okay. It's a poem. But I felt very, very strongly to read this poem in light of what God was sharing with us last night. It says, "You have heard it said, we live and move and have our being in Him. But I would say now, I want to live and move and have my being in you. For the time has come to see me face to face. The time has come to run the race. For to you there will be no more time nor space. For it will be my mind that will take its place." Praise God. "A place of rest, a place of peace, a place where time and space are released. For I'm taking off the limits of my spirit in you and bringing you out to an expanded view. So continue on to seek my face, for you have entered into my glorious grace, a grace that knows no boundaries or time, but a place of harmony, love, and rhyme." This speaks it all. There's 6,000 years wrapped up in about 16 lines right here. That which God has been doing and bringing the people to. And I was raised in a home that was a part of the Pentecostal movement, and so as in an early age, I was affected by that home life. And a lot of the things that was instilled within my understanding of the ways of God become a hindrance to me in appropriating that which God had purposed for the hour and the time. Because as I said last night, one of the things that was instilled within me and the Pentecostal movement as a whole was putting things afar off, waiting for another time and season for things to happen. And so we could dance and rejoice and hear the words of the Lord and the prophecies that come forth in our midst, and we could rejoice in them without having the expectancy that they were to be walked in at that particular moment of time. And so a mindset was established. And this mindset was established that put God so far off that every now and then he would move in what was called one of the nine gifts of the Spirit, and we might receive a healing or a miracle or et cetera, et cetera. But the fullness of what God was doing was afar off. And a lot of that mindset is still established in the midst of what I call kingdom people. See, we've come out of something and entered into something, but part of what we come out of came with us. And God, in this new place that we're walking in, increased, or didn't increase, but appropriated his grace in our midst to cover a lot of our weaknesses and things that we were not yet able to overcome. But let me tell you something about grace. Grace is not a license to sin. Grace is a license to have victory. Hallelujah. And God wants us to walk in the victory, because his grace covers us during the times of our weaknesses, during the time when we are having problems with our walk. And through that grace, he has brought us to a time when grace has its fulfillment in a people. Not that it's going to cease, but it has a time of fulfillment. One thing that the Bible calls it calls it the fullness of times. So we have come into a time in God when we are living in what he calls the fullness of time, or he's coming to a completion of those things that he spoke when he said, let us make man in our likeness and in our image, and let us give them dominion. Let us give them dominion. Well, if that was spoken way back yonder in Genesis, then you and I that have come into the seventh day of God should become an expression of that man that he spoke about. A people walking and talking in my likeness and in my image. Having dominion. Having dominion over everything else. He's given unto us dominion, a delegated authority to walk forth and declare that it should be so. We're going to stop the rain when it's necessary. Hallelujah. So you and I are getting prepared to be released for something. And it's going to be a warfare. But we already gained the victory. Got to not step on that X right there. It might explode. Yeah, I got this blessed hope. Going to be raptured. I'm not in any hurry, though. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Enjoyed your praises and singing this morning, last night. Praise God. Wonderful talent. Wished I had it. One time I was talking to God, and I began to envision within my mind just people lined up, and he's just passing out gifts and ministries. And when I come up to him, it's my turn. And I begin to express my desire. I says, now God, if you give me a ministry, I want to be able to lead God's people in worship and praise. But my wife can tell you, I can empty out a room every time I open my mouth to sing. Hallelujah. And I was telling my brother the other night, and I'll get on my message in a minute. I was telling my brother the other night that one time, years ago, I took a team of drug addicts into a African-American church there in Phoenix, Arizona. And so they did their service, and then they turned it over to us. And so I got up to introduce, but then I wanted to sing a song. You'll like this. So I started this song. The guy on the piano, they just started singing it, and all of a sudden they took a hold of it. 50 minutes later, I got to preach. Because that place come undone. They knew how to worship God. And the Spirit fell and began to move. Hallelujah. And that's all something that I've always had a desire. I believe that one of the first things to go out of a dying church is worship and praise. You follow me? Hallelujah. Worship and praise, ushers in. I want to read a scripture to you before I get started. Over in Hosea. The 6th chapter. First verse. Come, and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. Has that been your lifestyle? It's been mine. I've been torn, tossed to and fro, knocked down, but he always picked me up. He healed me. He has smitten, and I've felt many a slaps upon my face and the back of my head because of stubbornness or whatever else was working in my being. And he will bind us up. See, he did all those things. He healed us. He bound us up. Lifted us up out of ourselves, even for a short period of time. It was glory unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah, joy unspeakable. And then notice this, after 2 days. Now, you all know it's talking about 2,000 years, right? After 2,000 years, he will revive us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How long ago was it that Savior was hanging on that cross that day? So he said for 2 days, the church was going to go through a time of being torn and a time of being healed, a time of being smitten, and a time to be bound up. But on the third day, he said, after 2 days, will he revive us? So if those of you that have found yourself walking through the valley of the shadow of death for a time, in discouragement, knocking at your door, be revived. Be revived. And we shall live in his sight. Now, we all understand that there's a spiritual desire placed within the depths of our being when we come to the Lord, which was, I want to see him face to face. Driving factor of most of our lives. We've went through the thick and the thin, the down times and the up times, because something was motivating us to see him face to face. Some of you that might have went through the period of time when they begin to take away your rapture, it almost killed you. Because that was your blessed hope. But in place of that hope, God had a greater place for you and I to walk in. Hallelujah. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain. As the latter and the former rain unto the earth. Hallelujah. So I read that for us to consider just what time are we living in. Now when we consider what's next, we have to consider, is it time for the what next to take place? And some of us have questioned this. What's next on God's agenda? What's God going to do with us next? Because we've been in this certain place for a period of time. So, over in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the 12th and the 27th verse, hear what the word of the Lord says. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members are of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is who? Christ. So when the scripture begins to talk about Christ and begin to bring things out about what the Christ is going to accomplish, he's not just talking about the head. But he's talking about the head and the many-membered body. In some occasions, the body is being spoken of directly. But the head is always behind the scenes. Right? Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. Now, I know we all know this, but we want to lay this platform here. Hallelujah. To give us the assurance that what God's doing today is for us today. Hallelujah. So this speaks of coming, the coming forth of the head and the body together. It's going to appear in the earth. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, 22 through 24 says this. For as in Adam, all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, the kicker in this particular phrase is all in Christ are made alive. So that speaks to me on this wise. I'm dead till I get in Christ. Right? And if I'm in Christ, then the head begins to become the authority or that which manifests through my tabernacle. Hallelujah. Okay. But each one, then he tells us, but this is going to happen, Jim, each one in his own order. So there's an order that God established, such as there's a law that God established before the beginning of time. And he says, let us make man. When he said, let us make man, he said, now every seed, the law of the seed, every seed will bring forth after its own kind. So if we receive a seed, that seed is under the direction of an unbreakable law. That when we receive that seed, it's going to bring forth after its own kind. And the fruits that we bear from that seed dictate what seed is working in our land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So a seed has been set within us. And so each one, according to the seed and the timing of the seed, comes forth after his own order. Now, let me try to explain that. Then it explains itself here. It says, Christ, who's Christ? Head and the body, right? Christ, the first fruits. So there's a first fruits that begin to bear the name of Christ or the nature of Christ. They come forth in the harvest first. Hallelujah. I don't know about up in this area, but back down where I'm from, we grow wheat and corn and milo and soybeans. And there's always a first fruits. You can walk out and look at that field one day, and it's the same as it was yesterday. And it seems like overnight, suddenly, little pieces of wheat begin to show up on the corn upon the stalk. The first fruits. The suddenly. Hallelujah. It appears just like seemingly overnight. Well, suddenly, this people have been destined by God. This people to suddenly become something that you have not been up to this point. You've been on the vine. You've been growing and maturing and coming into these things that God's been speaking unto you. But if you're honest, you find out some things God spoke you never seemed to be able to work out. Hallelujah. But suddenly, Overnight, here we are. Hallelujah. So first, Christ the first fruits, afterward. So there's going to be an appearing of Christ. And after that appearing, those who are Christ at his coming. There's another. Back home when we raised cotton, we picked cotton not by machine back in those days, but by hand. And we always had three pickings. The first fruits. Then we'd get the team back in there and they'd pick the next harvest. And then the last harvest. So here, after the first fruits appear, then he comes again, which is his body and his bride. And I don't have time to get into what I'm going to say next, but just pray about it. At that appearing, the bride's going to appear with the body and the head. Okay? They're going to appear, but first the first fruits, then the body or the bride. Hallelujah. And then it goes in and said, then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father. Then comes the end when the remainder of the harvest is gathered in. Hallelujah. Are you guys with me? Hallelujah. When he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. That means the things of this world shall be no more. No power, no authority, they're going to come down. Hallelujah. They're going to come down. Everything that's not of God's kingdom in your city block is coming down. Hallelujah. 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 You might find yourself delegated to have authority over 4 or 5 or 15 miles square because everything else has come down. Does that make sense? It's like walking down into Walmart. Hallelujah. With the glory of God upon you. And when you walk in, it changes the whole atmosphere. Because you're there. Hallelujah. There might be some Christian men and women working in that store, but they don't have what you got. Suddenly you appear. And everybody that comes around you falls out. Because the glory of God. Now we're talking about a first fruits. We're talking about a people coming forth in his likeness and his image. Seed bringing forth after its own kind. Hallelujah. So, preparing the man-child comes first. God has been preparing the man-child to make an appearance. Now this church is as big as a barrel full of pregnant. I'm not talking about just this singular church, but the world in general. There's a true church that's been impregnated, and it's full, and it's getting ready to be birthed. And that which is being birthed is the man-child or the first fruits. See, everyone in their own order. There's an order that God always yields to. He's restricted himself to his word, right? When he speaks for a word, that means he's going to do it. Within the word is the power and the strength to make it so. There's nothing else has to be added to it. God speaks it, so shall it be. Hallelujah. Nothing can hinder it except the receiver of the word. Okay? So let's turn to Joshua, the 6th chapter. And we want to see that the man-child, at the time for the man-child to completely take the land, comes first. Okay? And that's when we talk about taking the land or the earth, the promised land. I'm not talking about Israel, okay? I'm talking about this land, right here. This land's taken first, okay? So the Israelite, and likened to the Israelites in entering the land of promise, Here they left the wilderness mindset behind. Now there's something Joshua told the children of Israel before they crossed the Jordan River. He said, sanctify yourself. For tomorrow, I'm going to do miracles. I'm going to release the supernatural. That which our heart's been beating for, we've been longing for, and we couldn't seem to never reach it, is suddenly tomorrow comes. So the process that we've been going through has been a process of sanctification. We've been being sanctified, spirit, soul, and body unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, we might look at ourselves in the mirror, and one of the things I'm glad the Scripture says, that He doesn't judge us or by the flesh. He looks upon the heart. Hallelujah. Because this old thing does some things that this heart don't want to do. Are you with me? So, let's look at Joshua, the sixth chapter. And marching around the city now, we're familiar with Jericho. This is a Bible story book lesson today, okay? And the seventh time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction. This is a city, okay? It and all who are in it. That means our character. Okay, that's been patterned and shaped by the sin nature. Okay, it's doomed. Okay, only Rahab the harlot shall live. So there's a remnant. Okay, shall live. Now notice she was a harlot. But something happened in her life that when the spies came in, she recognized something. There's a people in the earth today that have been involved with harlotry. But suddenly, somehow, in a motel room, somehow something happened and they begin to see life a little bit different. And so she hid the spies. She protected the spies. Okay? Hallelujah. And all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain. What's that word mean? Abstain. It means stay away from it, doesn't it? Okay? Now, I want you to follow me because this is very important because God, hallelujah, according to what God's ministered to me the last few weeks, you guys are on the threshold of something extraordinary. Hallelujah. You got a walking encyclopedia back there, and you've probably heard many, many different phrases and words and messages from God that's come forth because of the knowledge that God has set within him. Hallelujah. But now there's going to be a change. There's going to be a change, okay? That you all, by all means, abstain from the accursed things. So within that city of Jericho, there were some things accursed. Now, am I right, Oscar, that that word accursed could be interpreted devoted? So in this city, there's some things that are devoted lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things. And make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. So something in us, in spite of who we are, something in us has been consecrated unto God. Hallelujah. Whether we fail Him many times, there's still something in us that's been consecrated. And that's what God is saying. He said, when you come in and begin to take the city, he says, those things that are consecrated to me, don't touch it with your flesh. Okay? Don't try to make of yourself something that God is not desiring for you to become. Now, most of the Christian community finds themselves putting their hands to the things of God, and they're ordering it according to their own mindset. Their old doctrines and traditions and etc. are ordering and touching the things of God. And they've molded a system of religion that's far removed from God. Is that not right? But God has a people. Hallelujah. Within the city, there's something within the city that belongs to God, in spite of the city being of harlotry. Hallelujah. Consecrate to God, they shall come into the treasure of God. Doesn't over in the New Testament tell us that we're the treasures of God? Hallelujah. So there's something about this people that in spite of getting wrinkles on our face, our hair getting gray, and we're walking with limps, that God has devoted unto himself. He set a seed within us. And that seed that's within us is devoted to God in all of his power, in all of his authority. And that which he spoke unto that seed those many years ago, over 6,000 years ago, when he said, "Let us make man," was been set within this man. Hallelujah. And that seed is in the process of coming to the end of its maturing. And now God is going to gather it unto himself. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So Jericho points to a piece of furniture, Oscar, in the tabernacle called the altar of incense. This is what Jericho points to. Now, Jericho is a name from the Hebrew that means a place of fragrance. What happened on the Day of Atonement? Did not the high priest come from the outer court with some blood, go through the holy place, and stood there before the altar of incense and sprinkled it with some blood? Then he took some fire and he threw it upon the incense that was upon the altar, and a sweet smelling savior or fragrance began to ascend before God. Why? Because on the Day of Atonement, the altar of incense or begin to move. And on that day, it moved behind the curtain. And it stood in the Holy of Holies. And there that fragrance began to ascend before God. Now here we have Jericho, which is a type of the altar of incense. And it's beginning to be set on fire because the blood that was sprinkled upon us has run its course and it's done its work. And now the fire is beginning to bring a sweet-smelling Savior before God. And we're standing in his presence. And this is going to enable us to go in and take the land. Hallelujah. I wonder why Jericho was the first place that they come to when they crossed the river. If it was not so important, that was God's city all along. You know, Jericho has a bad rep. There have been many a message preached about Jericho putting it in a bad light. But not knowing that they were bringing a curse to themselves. Because Jericho had a purpose. And that purpose was to usher in a people into the fullness of God's promises. All God had to do is clean up the city. In order to clean it up, he had to first of all cause it to come down. It had walls around itself, did it not? How many of us have put walls around ourselves? We're not going to let nobody touch us. Hallelujah. And if we don't like that preacher, we'll leave and go somewhere else. I'm not going to let him begin to throw spears at me. Right? Now, don't tell me you haven't done that. Hallelujah. I'm finding out that Oscar and Jim and the other 20 ministers I met up in Kentucky, just like me, have their problems just like I do. Hallelujah. So, where am I at? The altar of incense, then, is a place of fragrance. Jericho is. Now, we're pointing to the Day of Atonement then, right? We're going in to take the land. The sprinkling of the blood from the brazen altar with burning incense is pointing to sanctified saints. Sanctified saints. It's also pointing to the 12th chapter of Revelation where a woman gives birth. Okay? And she gives birth. Hallelujah. And immediately something happens. Suddenly something happens. Now what happened on the Day of Atonement? Every seventh year, was it the Day of Atonement? Was it every seventh year? On the 49th year, then they entered into a year of Jubilee. Now what happened on the year of Jubilee? Everything we ever lost is given back. All of our inheritance has been given back. Now that means everything about in us that is of God that we put our hands to is going to be released and restored back. And to let us make man, every seed bringing forth after its own kind. Hallelujah. My goodness, I got to get on here. Hallelujah. So the Day of Atonement becomes the restoration of the saints who are now acceptable to God as first fruits. Restoration. Jericho, a type of the first fruits in taking the land. That's what Jericho is. So we're not Miss Goody Two-Shoes, are we? We've had our troubles and our problems, and we've come through some thicks and thins. But God's been preparing us to be his first fruits. Hallelujah. First fruits take the land. Note that the spoils of war belong to God. Therefore, they're devoted to him. These things are devoted to God. And it means take your hands off. Take your hands off. You got young people here. You got ministers here. That somebody somewhere, moms and dads or other ministers, have put their hands to them when they belong to God. I did it to my kids. When I learned to take my hands off of them, both of them. Because what I couldn't do, God did in a moment's time. And he knew how to do it. Hallelujah. Here just a little while ago, my son was talking to me. He said, Dad, you know, I really feel like I'm going to move into a ministry. Well, he's moving into a ministry as he understands ministry, but he wasn't seeing what I was seeing. We all are ministers, right? Hallelujah. So, the Israelites are a type of the church. They lost the victory because they touched or took the devoted things of God for selfish use. What's wrong with the church in our day and time? Hallelujah. You know what I read the other day? One church down in Dallas built a new multi-million dollar building with a bar in it. And it's got multi-thousands of people going there. And they better watch out because they're going to have security guards on the door to keep the street people from coming and drinking. Now, I'm making a little levity, but this is a fact. Now, what's the church come to? We have put our hands to the devoted things of God. Hallelujah. We've put our hands to the devoted things of God. Thus, the Israelites went from Jericho to Ai, lost the battle, and then in the Valley of Achor, they had to deal with the problem. Okay, now I know in the spirit that the ministries moving in this place have been dealing with the problem, preparing this place to be ushered in to the throne room. Are you with me? So the word has come forth. We're not criticizing or condemning, okay? But at the Valley of Achor, it's necessary for the church, the first fruits, to be sanctified again. Hallelujah. Has the modern day church mishandled the devoted things of God? I'm asking you a question. Do this if you agree. Hallelujah. So they make scripture into their perverted doctrines of half-truths and humanistic psychology instead of taking God's word face value. They find reasons for the word to not be fulfilled. Right? They'll get around it some way because they don't see it with these eyes. And they don't see in the spirit. The heaven's not been opened to them. Okay, in this church, there is a form of godliness, not this one. I'm talking about this Christian community church. There's a form of godliness without its power for victory. There's no victory. They are a defeated people who know not the glory of the latter house being greater. Now, the question I want to ask you and I is, where is the glory of the latter house? It's within, is it not? But why isn't it without? Are we still putting it off for a few weeks from now, or a month from now, or 10 years from now? Hallelujah. 2 Timothy. How late do you guys usually stay? Oh, no. Oh, no. Bring me a sandwich while you're at it. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy, and I'm on the way out. Hallelujah. I'm coming to the end of this. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1, 5, 7, and 9. Now, hear what it says. But know this. 2 Timothy 3, 1, 5, 7, and 9. But know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. What day are we living in? How many of you know that the last day started 2,000 years ago? Okay, so we're living in the last of the last days. Okay, so perilous times will come. What's the sound of the trumpet you're hearing? All around about us is the secular world is blowing all of their trumpets loud and clear. It's a trumpet that's sounding perilous times. Okay, they have a form of godliness but denying its power, verse 5. Verse 7. And it says, from such people turn away. Don't get involved with such people that deny the power of God. Right. Hallelujah. Always, verse 7, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So the intellect is not profitable to those that are coming into the fullness of this. We can expand our intellect through much study. But are we expanding in the knowledge of truth? Truth. Hallelujah. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. So there's folly. We can observe it. As you travel as much as I do, I see it on every hand. I come by a dozen churches from the hotel this morning down to here. How many of them are preaching truth? How many of them are manifesting truth? Or how many of them are just playing religious games, putting their hands to the devoted things of God? There's some people sitting in those churches waiting for a time of deliverance. Now, who's going to deliver them? Hallelujah. There's a first fruits that make an appearance, and they become a strong attraction, and people begin to hear. Hallelujah. There's a message that I wrote one time called, "We have heard God is with you." Hallelujah. And so they're going to begin to hear when God begins to manifest himself. They're going to begin to hear and come. And come. You said something about 10,000 last night. Hallelujah. I don't know how far back your land goes, but you might need it. Or God might have another building here somewhere for you that already holds it. Amen. Now, I'm not being facetious. I'm saying that God is moving. And if he don't do it in and through you, he's going to do it somewhere. That's right. And I'm very, very dogmatic about God having certain geographical locations for his people to live in. And it's time for you and I to get before God and find out where our geographical location is. If you're where it is, rejoice. But if you have to make a move, rejoice. Because you're being led into something. Hallelujah. You're being led into something. So, when the church, with the church dwelling in a defeated mindset and atmosphere, what does the world and we in general observe? I just explained what I observe. Hallelujah. What we observe is man has learned to teach and preach. Right? When I went to Bible college, that's what I went for. To learn. Well, one semester later, God says, I want you out of this place. And about a year later, he pulled me out of the denomination I was a part of. Man has learned how to sing and offer a form of praise. Hallelujah. We got it all on the wall now. We can look up and read it as we sing it, and our minds can be wandering on the cafeteria somewhere. Right? Hallelujah. There's hundreds of places I know around the world that would love to have that woman right there and release her into the fullness of her ministry. Hallelujah. Man knows how to act religious and pretend righteousness. How are you on the job? Hallelujah. But are these simply putting their hands to the devoted things of God for their own profit, purpose, and kingdom? Hallelujah. I've talked to a lot of, not a lot, but some ministries that have a very profitable ministry. They have large churches, and they understand this message, but they won't follow it. Why? Because they got a kingdom. Their own kingdom. Let me read. I want to hurry and try to get through this because I want to get to the important part. Joshua 7, verses 24 and 25. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold. You know the story. The Valley of Achor, where they killed Achan, his wife, his kids, the cattle, everything he owned they took because they wanted to remove it totally and completely out of the midst of the children of Israel. Why? Because he was putting his hands to the devoted things of God. What about your earth? What about your land? What are you doing with the devoted things that God has placed in you? Hallelujah. Are you putting your hands to it, or are you leaving it unto God to do with as he will? Okay? Hallelujah. Understand that while not knowing any specific date, the saints can know the times and the seasons. We know the times and seasons. You know the times and seasons, and the season is upon us. When the day of the Lord has come forth and the fullness of times is upon us, and it's time for us to become the first fruits of God in the land. For the land is groaning and travailing. It's in tremendous travail. As I said last night, I've talked to hundreds of young people that are looking for God in all the wrong places because there's nothing in the church that is appetizing unto them. Form and fashion is not what they're looking for. They're looking for reality. That's why we have so many reality shows coming out now. People are looking for reality. And the reality of God can only come forth through the likes of you and I. Hallelujah. When we release the devoted things of God within to God. Hallelujah. Purify the land. Let the stones begin to fall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5 and verse 9. The purpose of the first fruits, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house. Living stones. Hallelujah. a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Hallelujah. It's not how much you work for the church or how much money you give or how many miles you drive down the road. That's not what it's all about. It's spiritual sacrifices. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Have you ever had great drops of blood come out of your bowel because the enemy is attacking you and you say, not my will, but God, yours be done. Have you ever cried out, Lord, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done? Because the will of God is time. It's time for the will of God to manifest itself in the earth, in a people such as you and I. Hallelujah. Not my will, but yours be done. But you are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. A scripture pointing to God's dwelling place. Us in him and he in us. Hallelujah. Manifesting himself as the first fruits or the fragrance that is being that is ascending before the throne room. For this fragrance to ascend in the before God, we have to be in the throne room. There's a birthing taking place, Oscar, and these people are being birthed into the throne room. It's time. The day the Feast of Tabernacles has come upon us, when God shall occupy us and we occupy him. Hallelujah. So the cost to rebuild Jericho. There's a cost. Hallelujah. This is why I say that Jericho's had a bad rap. People come against it because they didn't see what God was trying to reveal to us. Joshua 6:26. Now hear what it says. And Joshua charged them at that time, saying, cursed be the man. Now this man, this word man right here, is a Hebrew word that is used. It's ish, ish, and it means not just an ordinary man, but a great man. So he said here, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city Jericho. Hallelujah. Now, who was cursed for you and I? So he was cursed to rebuild. He had to tear it down, but he was cursed and took the curse upon himself. Cursed be the man that hangs on the cross. Right? But notice what else he says. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn. And with his youngest he shall set up its gates. What does it say about Jesus? The firstborn son was the foundation, right? Okay, who is the secondborn? Who is rather the youngest? Benjamin. A type of the body of Christ. Now notice what it says over here. Joshua 18:11-12. Now listen. Now the lot of the tribe of the children of Benjamin came up according to their family. And the territory, their lot came out between the children of Judah and the children of Joseph. Their border on the next side began at Jordan, and the border went up to the side of Jericho. So these youngest sons of the father become the gates. There's a generation out here that's looking for a way, and you're the gate. You're the gate. Coming and sitting in this building every Sunday morning don't make you a gate, nor me. Gates are gates for a purpose. To become an entrance into the house of God. As we said before, there's a whole world out here groaning, travailing in deep agony. It's destroying itself, for it knows not what to do. It's turning on itself and eating itself alive. But where's the gates? Where is the gates? Except you and I take our hands off of what God planted in us. That seed that brings forth after its own kind. That seed that presents the Christ to the world. The world is looking for you to make an appearance, that the Christ might be seen in the earth again. Hallelujah. There's a gathering, and the time of the gathering of the saints is upon us. Hallelujah. Jesus, in your own leisure, read Galatians 3:13. It says Christ become a curse for us, okay? So he become the foundation, we become the gates. We need to denote... Note, God's divine order from the beginning has never ceased. Never ceased. Now God's fullness of times is upon us, and it brings the manifestation of God's nature. That's what's in you that you've put your hands to. That's what's in me that I put my hands to, but we're releasing it. The stone... The stones of the ministry God set in your midst and brought your way has been coming after you. Coming after us. Am I making sense? Are you hearing what God's wanting out of you? Hallelujah. His body is now appearing for but one purpose. To establish the kingdom. To establish the kingdom. I'm going to read a verse for you. Another one. To establish a kingdom here in the earth. Hallelujah. Becoming the visible expression of an invisible God. And I want to close with this scripture over in Jeremiah. Hallelujah. First chapter. Now, I didn't know Eddie Wilson. In fact, I never heard of him until North Carolina here a few days ago. But I want to tell you something about him. He was anointed with the spirit of Jeremiah. Okay? And so as he moved this ministry and what's been continuing on from that day to this is what we're going to read to you here right now. Okay? Hallelujah. If I can find it. Jeremiah. Oh, hallelujah. Jeremiah, we know the story about how God called him and he says, "Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whomsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, "Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." Jim, you have the word of the Lord. It's in your mouth. Hallelujah. This young man here has the word of the Lord in his heart. And he's going to release it through his mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "I have set thee this day over the nations and over the kingdoms." Now he's talking to you. Why? Because that's the seed that was planted in this place. I don't know who will come after Eddie, but I know he picked it up. Oscar picked it up. Hallelujah, okay? He says, "I have set thee over nations and over kingdoms." Hallelujah. "To root out, to pull down, and to destroy." Now we've come to this part. Okay, to build and to plant. and the plant. This is God's day. It's the day of the Lord. It's the day of atonement. It's the entering into the behind the veil. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the seventh day. I don't know, it seems like last night we talked a little bit about having one foot in the sixth day and one in the seventh. It's stressful. It's stressful. We've enjoyed what we've had, but something's telling us it's not enough. And we're tasting something in the other day, but we can't seem to get a hold of it yet. And that's what's going to happen. Suddenly, that left foot's moving over with the right. Hallelujah. We've been fishing all night and we caught nothing. We caught nothing. Well, go out and cast your net on the right side. Well, I don't believe it's right versus left. I believe it's wrong versus right. Cast your net on the right side. And we'll start gathering them in, brother. We'll start gathering them in. They'll come. And their testimony will be, we have heard. God's with you. Hallelujah. This is your day, friends. Hallelujah. This is our day to shine. Hallelujah. God bless you all.
Praise the Lord, praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Praise you, Father.
For surely, my son, I would declare unto you, I'm well pleased in you. And I want you to know that I'm going to begin to send you forth even with a greater anointing, a greater release of my word, even than you've got already.
Amen.
It's going to set the captives free for truly, there's many bound in this day, and there's many that cannot move forward because they've been so bound. But you're going to speak a word, and the bonds are going to begin to drop off, saith the Lord. For surely I do love you, and I have called you. For surely I say unto you this day, I'm going to set a new release upon you. I'm going to set a new anointing upon you that will break the yokes in every life as you speak. And I'm going to begin to even open doors that's been closed to you in times past. Because surely I'm going to begin to break down the walls. And as I break down the walls, surely there shall become a freedom and there shall become a release. And daughter, I'm saying to you, even as you stand beside your husband, the two of you shall become even more one, and the Lord shall even begin to release you in the word even more. And you shall speak a word and a timely word at the right time, and it shall even soothe the hearts of the troubled. It shall begin to bring healing and even release in lives. But I say unto you this day, my son, I'm well pleased in you. Well pleased. And my anointing shall increase and increase and increase until it breaks the yokes. And Father, I say right now, Father, we bless them in the name of Jesus. We want to just send them forth as they leave from here to go to another, that even there would be even a greater release, a greater anointing, a greater freedom to speak your word. And Father, this word depart from our people, but let them move up into it, Father, and move into a place of release, that creation is groaning and travailing or crying. They would see Jesus. And Father, let that spirit of Jesus rise up in your body and release creation. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Bless you, Father. Amen. 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 Praise God. Anybody else? Just feel free.
Lord, I thank you for these two that stand before us that are actually one.
Yes.
These two are one. Lord, I thank you that they're able to travel this one.
Yes.
And Lord, I know and I trust that when Brother Dwayne stands in front of your people, that he feels at home. Because he is at home, Lord. Yes. Because we're all brothers and sisters.
Yes.
But Lord, I even ask you to help his wife to make him feel even more at home everywhere that they travel with just her presence.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you for who they are and what they are. Sister was telling us this morning she was a kindergarten teacher, Lord. She's touched untold numbers of lives.
Amen.
She'll never see the impact that she's had on little ones who are so impressionable at that age. And I just thank you for that ministry that she's done. And I thank you for what you're going to do out of that.
Yes.
And I ask you just to bind them even closer together, Lord, if it's even possible. And just make them more one than they've ever been.
Yeah.
And what will come out of that is more of you.
Yes.
And I thank you.
Yes.
Yes.
I've sent you out into many fields. Many of them have had lots of rocks and thorns and thistles. But in this day, when the fields are white under harvest, I'm sending you to fields where I have taken many of the rocks out and many of the thorns out. And it's fertile ground, it's fertile soil. And the seeds that you're sowing now are going to be seeds of strength in these people and of confirmation in these people. And you'll be able to look back in the days ahead, and you're going to be able to see that the fields are starting to overtake you, that the fruit is starting to be plentiful and start abounding. I know that in days gone by, many of my ministers have gone with weeping and tears in their eyes, but the day and the hour has come where you shall be going and rejoicing, and you and I will be looking back on these fields in days to come, and we will be rejoicing together, my son.
Yes.
I would say unto thee, my son and my daughter, the day of rest is upon thee, because I would say unto thee, as you have entered my presence, saith the Lord, you've entered my rest. You will no longer struggle, saith the Lord, on what to say or who to say it to, but I will free your lips and your minds to minister unto my people. And I would say unto thee, my people will be those that you speak to, saith the Lord. For my word shall not return void, but it shall be that which lays hold and claims that and settles within their lives. And they shall raise up, and you shall be comforted, saying, my word come to pass. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Praise.